He's calling, wake up, child. It's your time to shine. You were born for such a time as this, such a time as this.
But we see that in Acts, Paul said, the Lord led me here. Paul said, the Lord closed the door to this area. And then he appeared to me by a vision and led me to Macedonia. And the Lord led. And I'm like, what is all this stuff? And it really, it's not as difficult. That we make it a lot more difficult. Sometimes we worry about these phrases, leading of the Lord, Holy Spirit, the Spirit, gifts of the Spirit. But they're all given by God to direct us and to encourage us. His word is primary. It is a foundation. It is inerrant. It is inspired. It's our gauge. But sometimes we need a little hamburger helper.
Thank you for joining us here at Westside Christian Fellowship, located in Leona Valley, California, 1 hour north of Los Angeles. Today on Regaining Lost Ground, we return with part two of the message titled, Can I Ask God for Confirmation? And is taken from the scripture in Genesis 23 and 24. English preacher J.C. Ryle once said, I must honestly declare my conviction that since the days of the Reformation, there never have been so much profession of religion without practice, so much talking about God without walking with Him, so much hearing God's words without doing them. Please join us as Pastor Shane gives this clarifying message of hope, encouraging us that through life's inevitable trials, when we trust in the Lord completely, we may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Regaining Lost Ground is sponsored by the generous supporters of the ministries of Westside Christian Fellowship. For more information, visit us online at westsidechristianfellowship.org. We also encourage you to hear more truth from Pastor Shane with the Idleman Unplugged weekly podcast. And please be sure to follow us on most social media platforms. And now, from Westside Christian Fellowship in Leona Valley, California, here's Pastor Shane Idleman.
Gideon, to do this, he needed courage to fight evil. He was already walking in obedience. The night before, he tore down the altar of Baal, almost cost him his life. He was obeying God. He was walking in the fear of God. He was wanting to deliver his people. He needed courage. He trusted God, not himself. And deliverance of the nation of Israel lined up with God's word. So he had all these things in his favor. But he wanted that final confirmation. But we can't be flippant about confirmation. It's not about playing games with God. It's about genuinely seeking His will. So back to the question. I'm going to answer my opinion. This is the Shane Idleman opinion, okay? Don't say the Bible. Shane said the Bible says this. But I mean, I think we could prove it. I mean, throughout Scripture, God would give them a sign. Here's a sign to you that a virgin will be born. Here's a sign to you, you'll see the star. Here's a sign to you. Here's a confirmation in the book of Acts. There's so much scripture. So can we ask God for a sign from time to time? So I do believe that we can ask God for confirmation from time to time. I think it's biblical because he knows, Lord, I trust you. Again, I don't trust moi. I don't know what ulterior motives are going on up here. I want comfort and convenience. God wants his will. I might do things a little bit differently with ulterior motives. God has pure motives. So Lord, I need to know, is this your will? I need confirmation. However, there are certain conditions that have to be met. Number one, and this is all biblical, we can find scriptures on all of these. If you're truly seeking God's will through prayer and the application of his word. So if you're praying, you're reading God's word, you're applying God's word, he knows your heart. But how many people are doing neither of those? Or maybe they're a quick little prayer right now, but they're not applying God's word. This happens a lot. People are dating and they're saying, Lord, show us a sign, confirmation. Is this your will that we get married? Well, first you got to move out from living together. Stop fooling around, breaking the fornication rule, and then get in God's will. Because see, if we're in disobedience in one area, it's hard to get clear direction in another area. He usually says, go back and obey what you need to obey, and then you'll get further, you'll get orders from headquarters. After you begin with this step of obedience. Or what about the Lord? Do you want me to, I mean, you fill in the blank. You've got your own, do you want me to stay in this marriage? Do you want me to do this? Do you want me to separate or divorce? Or do you want, but if we're disobedient in other areas, we're not going to hear clearly in God's word in this area. And God says, I hate divorce. God joins them together. And so if we're praying and we're walking obedience according to God's word, it's okay to ask for confirmation to help solidify, to make sure you're making the right decision. I can give you a lot of examples where I needed some type of confirmation. And that's, if you want to get technical, you hear in the Bible, have you ever heard the term word of wisdom, word of knowledge, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, chapters, read 1 Corinthians chapters 12, 13, 14 to get the full context. All that is, I think Wayne Grudem talks about it in his book, Systematic Theology, on a prophetic word. It's just God spontaneously brings something, let's say, to your mind that she is supposed to give to me, that confirms God's will or convicts or gives me a word of, that's what God does sometimes. That would be the whole point of that gift. It's not weird in this. It's like, sometimes you need a little help. Lord, I need a little help. I need to know if this is you or not. So somebody, God will give you something for somebody else. It's called a word of wisdom, word of knowledge. It happened a lot in the Old Testament, a lot in the New Testament. Paul talks about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And we're a church that still believes in those gifts of the Holy Spirit. I don't believe that now that we have the Bible, we don't need a little help. We need a little confirmation. And I've given you some examples over the last couple of years. I don't want to keep giving you examples of this, but so many times, I remember a couple years ago, I was in the back and I was going to have to deliver a very hard message. And I didn't know if it was coming from anger. And I said, Lord, I can't do this. I cannot do this unless I know give me a sign. Give me confirmation, because I'm not just going to do that. This might be a little bit too much Shane Eidelman going on. I'm back there. I'm standing back there. I'm just praying. And here comes this little old lady. She gets off the altar. It's about 6:30 in the morning. Marilyn Enos was her name. And she walks back and she goes, she taps and she goes, Pastor, God put on my heart to tell you, speak everything He put on your heart. Don't hold back a word. And then she comes back up. Like, that was a coincidence. Yeah, right. Right? That helps. See, that I can't turn to a passage in Bible because the Bible tells me to speak boldly, but it doesn't let me know if that's me, my own impulse. Or many of you heard of Leonard Ravenhill. His son David Ravenhill told of a story where he was with a group of missionaries. And this young girl was there, I think around 20 years old. And throughout the whole dinner, God is pressing it upon this missionary's heart to tell this girl, go tell her that I hate mommies and daddies too. What? That's not God. You got to be kidding me. And so he fought it and fought it. For an hour later, he said, okay, and he told the missionary girl this. God wants you to know that He hates mommies and daddies too. And she starts breaking down and crying, because her uncle used to abuse her and say, let's go play mommies and daddies. See, I can give you story after story after story of God confirming His word, confirming His will through the gifts and power of the Holy Spirit. Many, I think of five or six more just that had to deal with this church. There was unmistakably God. But I can't turn to Deuteronomy 6 and get that answer. You see, because the principle's there, but the confirmation for my exact situation is not there. And so that's why God gives us these gifts of the Holy Spirit to be able to speak into the lives of people. And so also, number two, if you're waiting on Him, if you're waiting on God, not in a hurry, anybody make bad decisions rushing out, right? We talked about that. That's called reacting and not responding. Reacting, not responding. That's why I've told you before, I'd post like 1,000 more things on social media, but I'm usually reacting, right? Now, let me go tell them off. Reacting. Instead of responding in love. And so if we're waiting on God, we want to serve Him. We want to walk out in faith. We've repented of besetting sin and wrong attitudes, if warranted. Then we can rest assured that God might give us a sign. What about number three? You're using wisdom and applying principles that align with His word, His character, and His nature. So if we don't apply wisdom, it's hard to ask God to give us a sign if we know our decision is going to be a foolish decision. Now, sometimes things don't always make sense. when you step out and do things for God, doesn't quite make sense. So you have to be careful with this one of wisdom. But for example, I saw this a lot. A lot of people, when I was in real estate, they would want to make an offer on a house that was above their means. Like, that's not a good idea. That's boy, oh boy. Yeah, I don't know how you're going to make. And, you know, they had all the we'll just sell this and we'll live this and we'll just eat off rice and beans all week and it will save money. And you know it was not a good idea. And they would tell me a lot, Shane, let's make an offer, and if we get it, we know God opened that door. And I'd say, no, you might get it. You make an offer, you might get that house. But now if you know God is maybe leading you, he's put on your heart, it fits financially, there's a burden there, and it's something that only God can do, you know, I'm not against that, but just be careful in this area because God has given us wisdom. The book of Proverbs says wisdom is the principal thing, meaning it's the main thing. Therefore, get wisdom, get understanding. She will exalt you. She will promote you. She will lead you down the right path. So many times I think we're wanting to know God's will in all these areas or different things, but we're not ready to apply wisdom to our life. It begins there. It begins with wisdom. And number four, God may show you a sign, give you confirmation, if you're prepared to obey regardless of the answer. How many of us try to, when the door isn't open, we try to look for a window? And when the window's not open, we look for a hole in the wall. Like, I'm going to find a way in here somehow. And I've done that. God's given me an answer. I'm like, nope, that's not, I'm going to keep trying. I'm going to keep fighting, you know, this. And you have to be prepared. Okay, Lord, give me a confirmation if this is your will or not, and I will obey. And then number five, we talked about, I think briefly, you're not double-minded, wishy-washy, and always looking for a word. Have you met those people? Do you have a word for me this week? Do you have a word for me next week? Is there a sign? Is there confirmation? And there's no clouds in the sky. That must mean I don't want to drive that way. I need to drive this way. And if that doesn't turn red, I need to turn left. And if I get down to Santa Clarita and I see somebody walking on the side of the street, that probably means I need to, I mean, it just never ends. And they become unstable in everything they do because God's word is the primary source of guidance. The principles, the application of it, the obedience, using wisdom, and then from time to time, especially on major, I think it's major decisions. When we there's some major challenging decisions here, we need to hear God's confirmation in many areas. Number six, you're not asking for confirmation on things that oppose His word. Uh-oh. Lord, please open this door. God, give me confirmation, knowing that that's not, doesn't line up with Scripture. Does not line up with Scripture. Lord, give me confirmation if I should go spend $1,000 today on the lottery. You might get confirmation, but it won't be from God. The enemy can drop a lottery ticket. You're like, what is that? Oh my goodness, God gave me confirmation. Or you meet someone again, maybe not a believer. They're not equally yoked. But you're going to change them. You're going to convert them. No, that's God's job. So make sure you're okay with the answer and you're not asking for things opposed to His word. And then number seven, this has been a big help for me. You're prepared to keep trusting God even if there is silence. No answer. Because I don't want you leaving here thinking, oh yeah, God just will give you a sign, confirmation every time you need one for something. Sometimes there's nothing. I'm dealing with stuff right now. Nothing. Lord, you want me to keep praying in this area? There's nothing. But then it goes back to, without faith, it's impossible to please God. At some point you step out and you say, Lord, I'm going to step out in faith. I believe this is good. It's God-honoring. I feel you're leading me to do this. I'm trusting you. That God is happy about that. The Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. So I think sometimes we don't have signs and confirmation so we can exercise even greater faith. Isn't that true? If God gives me a clear confirmation, I'm like, oh, okay, that's Him. Not much faith involved. There's not much faith involved, right? Because I got confirmation. No faith. I don't need faith. He just confirmed it with me. Real faith is when you walk through the darkness and the black, trusting God without any light. And so that He may take you through that as well. But then the answer comes in Genesis 24, before he had 15 through 17, I believe, before he had even finished praying. So he's praying, and then Rebekah comes out. She was beautiful. She was a virgin, and she went down to the well. She filled her pitcher and came up, and the servant ran to meet her and said, "Please give me a drink from your pitcher." So a couple things. I do want to mention this. God's will regarding sexual purity. God's will regarding sexual purity in a culture where they despise virginity, God's word puts a very high price on it. It's a very good thing. And I know many of us have a past, and God can still redeem that. God can still work through that. You don't want to beat yourself up, but at the same token, you have to understand that God can still use you, but He wants to spare you the pain and the difficulty of carrying extra baggage. And so we learn a very valuable principle here, because a lot of people are forced in to not being sexually pure because of the media, because of their friends. But it's a wonderful biblical principle. And then I also put, he put here, the woman was very beautiful. But keep in mind, attraction is good, but it's not a gauge. So just because you're attracted to someone doesn't mean that's the gauge of success. Oh, attraction, it must be in God's will. No, it could be the lust of the flesh. It could be something that's not God's will. So it's good, obviously, right? You know, I don't know. But attraction can be good and God-given, but it's not the gauge you use to determine if something is God's will. Because that's the lust of the flesh, the eyes, and that can't be the determining factor. And then so she said in verse 18, "Drink, my Lord." Then she quickly let her pitcher down and she gave him a drink. And guess what? She said, "I will also give water to your camels." Uh-oh. But here's what's very interesting. He didn't say, and the man wondering at her, he said, in other words, he didn't just get excited and say, "Oh my goodness, I can't believe this. I just prayed this," and tell her the story. No, what does he do first? Now that's interesting. He remains silent. So it's not a contrary. It's like, wait a minute, why are you remaining silent? You just ask God to do that. Because he's still like Gideon, probably. Okay, let me ponder this for a minute. Because sometimes God's will unfolds day by day or hour by hour. Sometimes it's a process. You don't always have all the information. Because sometimes you're getting the information, this looks good, and then God just slams the brakes on. Has that ever happened? Man, I can tell you, before we came up to this church, there was a couple churches over the hill who we were possibly going to merge with. I was going to become the lead pastor. We're going to merge with them. Everything looked great. We need a building. They need a pastor. The pastor's retiring, whatever. This is perfect. This is God's will. Actually had some confirmation. Some people said it sounds good. Godly counsel said it sounds good. Boom, 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 and then slammed shut. Completely slammed shut. End of story. Why? Because just because it looks good initially, you're like, "Okay, Lord, I'm still trusting you. I don't want to be naive. Continue to lead me. Continue to show me." So sometimes it's a process. Have you ever experienced that? You thought you were getting that job. Everything went great. You went in for a second interview. They said they're going to hire you. And then what happened? The irony is, I just have to tell you this. One of the churches said, "You didn't go to seminary." So everything's great, but you didn't go to seminary. Like, I'm stupid, I don't know the Bible? What do you mean? But see, I thought it was God's will. Confirmation, bam, slam shut. Completely slam shut. Other situations where I thought it was God's will. Many of you know when I stopped working at 24-hour fitness centers, I started a website, whatworkswhendietsdon't.com. And we had personal trainers, we had monthly income there. I was teaching all the time. I was doing seminars. And I said, this is God's will for my life. Finally, I found it. No, you kind of close, but It's over here, Shane.
Ah, darn it.
And that kind of just fell apart. I'm like, what was that about? Because sometimes God lets you, you know, kind of just, you plan your ways, but it's the Lord who directs your step. Or how many of you have been engaged? Oh, we're both Christians and this is wonderful. Oh, why are we broken up now? You see? He pondered it in his heart. Just because that first part was confirmed, he used wisdom, said, well, Lord, let me just wait on you. Did you know my wife was engaged before we met? Mm-hmm. See, you don't know. You should tell her that. Shane said, but it looked great, Christian guy, Christian girl, this is, wow, what happened? Because it's not God's plan. Initially, sometimes God shows us in pieces. And sometimes it's to learn about yourself during that journey. Or sometimes it's to readjust your direction. Or sometimes we don't really know. We just trust in God's sovereignty. But my point is, he didn't rush ahead. He just said, okay, checklist number one is done. Let's keep seeing how this works out here. And so, that's why I don't have the rest of it. That's next week. Man, now I got y'all hanging. You're going to have to come back next week. Well, and the reason is, if we keep reading in Genesis, he says, the Lord led me to you. And so next week I want to talk about what is the Lord's leading? How do you determine when the Lord is leading you? Ooh, that's a little controversial too. But we see that in Acts. Paul said, the Lord led me here. Paul said, the Lord closed the door. The Lord closed the door to this area. And then he appeared to me by a vision and led me to Macedonia. And the Lord led and like, what is all this stuff? And really it's not as difficult that we make it a lot more difficult. Sometimes we worry about these phrases, leading of the Lord, Holy Spirit, the Spirit, gifts of the Spirit, but they're all given by God to direct us and to encourage us. His word is primary. It is a foundation. It is inerrant. It is inspired. It's our gauge. But sometimes we need a little hamburger helper. You know what that is? Young adults might not. It's something you would add to some hamburger. And now I'm not talking about adding anything, but I need a little help. Lord, I've been searching your Bible for 6 months. I don't know if I'm supposed to start a church. It doesn't tell me. Would you give me some confirmation? Please, Lord, give me some confirmation. And that actually, that's here. I don't think she's at this service. But she was one of them 12 years ago. And about Nofo Elatis, he taught the men's, a good friend of mine, and about six other people, my aunt, all out of the blue within the same 4 or 5 days. Have you ever thought about being a pastor? I'm like, yeah. They just asked me that last week. Have you ever? And then she'll just, God confirming. Because I was like, there's no way I'm doing that. That's for like, you know, that's just because I came from a construction background, hardworking, drinking beer, fighting. I'm like, I'm not going to be that's wimpy. That's, you know, wear the glasses and they're like, let's see what God's word says, children. Yeah, that's not for me. That's not for me. And then people, but God keep confirming it.
He's calling, wake up, child. It's your turn. You born for such a time as this. He's calling, wake up, child. It's your turn to shine. You born for such a time as this. Such a time as this.
You've been listening to Regaining Lost Ground with Pastor Shane Eidelman. You can find more information at westsidechristianfellowship.org. That's westsidechristianfellowship.org. And for all the latest on what God is doing with His ministry here, please be sure to follow us on most social media platforms. Westside Christian Fellowship is located 60 miles north of Los Angeles in Leona Valley, California. Thank you again for listening to today's message of Regaining Lost Ground, where we are reminded daily, times change, truth does not.
Such a time as this, He's calling, wake up, child. It's your turn to shine.
Regaining Lost Ground is sponsored by the generous supporters of the ministries of Westside Christian Fellowship.